3 months, we are going to be looking at a study of 1st and 2nd Peter. I chose this book a long time ago, almost a year ago, when the pandemic hit. I kept on going to it. Not that we have the same trials as the first century Christians had, but we also have trials today that is affecting our lives. And Peter is not a book that we normally go to. We've been studying a lot of from Paul's letters. He wrote approximately 13, and some people claim that he wrote the Hebrew letter, but it's not recorded that way. I don't think so, but you could ask him when you get to heaven. Peter only had written 2 letters, and they were profound letters that encouraged the saints who were under persecution. So with that, next, I'm going to look at our syllabus for the next several weeks, and I'll go quickly through this. First of all, on that sheet I sent out, the syllabus, the first day was wrong. I put 3-6. It's actually 3-7. I found that out this morning when I looked at my slides. But today we're going to just look at an introduction and facts about Peter. We studied a lot about Paul, but the Bible tells us a lot about Peter also. You look at the book of Acts, he appears in basically chapters 1 through 11, and then Paul starts his missionary journey in 1 to 12, and Paul starts his missionary journey in 13 and 14, and then he appears again at the Jerusalem Council, and then we hear again about him in the Ephesian letter, and also in 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about him. And then he had written 1 and 2 Peter. But we know a lot about Peter if you go to the gospel accounts. And we're going to focus on that basically tonight. And if you follow the syllabus, you'll see that I broke the book up into basically 10 different categories. Next week, we'll be studying the opening and also our salvation, our living hope. And in the following 2 weeks, we're going to look at the following week, we are going to look at the values of the Old Testament prophets we have towards our faith and the call we have to holiness. Now, bear in mind that the saints who received this letter were under persecution for their faith. We're not under persecution for our faith, but yet we are struggling with different issues, different stresses in our life with the COVID virus. So as we go through the syllabus, we're going to see on Peter's going to share with us on how we live a righteous life and how we praise God. That's our jobs as Christians. Peter is also going to tell us how we honor authority. That's those in government, those in business, and also Jesus is our example we could look at. Peter also deals with how we honor marriage, both parties in marriage, how we live righteously, how we live godly, we're going to look at. We're going to put on Christ, and we're going to see how he gives us an analogy of knowing the flood and baptism. And we're going to continue with godly living, with how we keep fervent in our love towards God, towards one another, towards our brothers and sisters, towards our neighbors, and also how we share in sufferings of Christ. He'll conclude the book in the fifth chapter with how elders shepherd the flock and how the saints are to be humble. And then he's going to close the letter. In 2 Peter, he's going to go on to teach us about the great salvation of God, how we look towards Jesus, how we as Christians receive grace and peace from God, how Christ, who is our Messiah, teaches us how to live godly, and how we as Christians should grow in our faith. He also is going to teach us about the virtues that we walk in, Christian virtues, how we build upon them, and how we put the proper perspective in our lives towards not only our brothers and sisters, but those in the world. Peter is also going to deal with an issue about our salvation, where it comes from. And in the second chapter, he's going to address false teachers. When you think about false teachers, they've been plaguing the church from the beginning. Paul, in his missionary journeys and his accounts, he always was battling against these false teachers. And as humanity progressed, we see that false teachers integrated the church and started putting their own spin on the way Christianity should be lived. And we look at religions today, there's over 2,000 different types of religions that sprung up from the teachings of Jesus, all from these false teachers. They will receive their judgment. We have to identify them, and we have to keep ourselves pure. And finally, Peter's going to deal with in 2 Peter about the second coming of Christ, the end of the world. That's probably why a lot of people don't look at this book. They don't want to look at this particular section, but Christ is coming again. We as Christians await his arrival, and we should be ready. So who does Peter address in 1 Peter?
To those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, who are chosen through those who have been sprinkled with his blood. So that would be Christians, right?
Right. So, and what was their dilemma? Well, first of all, he's addressing believers, as Carol has indicated, who was suffering, fighting persecution. Go through these verses because we are going to go in. We're going to go in depth with them later on, but there's Christians, as Carol had indicated, that was on the run from being persecuted for their faith. And that's very stressful because you're leaving there place where they live. They're leaving their families. They're going to different areas of the world to escape this persecution, and it's following them. Just think back at Paul's second missionary journey, when the Holy Spirit told him he was coming up on Asia, and the Holy Spirit forbid him from going to Asia. Now that these saints, believers who are escaping persecution, wind up there. It's kind of ironic, but there must have been something happening in Asia. So what did Peter want to share with his readers? Well, first of all, Peter wished to share with his readers to live obedient. Live a victorious life under suffering. Yet a Christian could still evangelize in this hostile environment. Same way it applies to us. We should live obedient, live a victorious life, even under suffering, the suffering that we have today. But most important, we should still preach Jesus to others. We should still share the gospel message with others.
Hey, Lenny.
Yeah.
What I was reading on that was what Carol was saying. They'd also, I wanted to make sure that this was right. They'd called them exiles from those different places, that they were also called strangers and immigrants because they were dispersed to that. But I was, from what I thought the gentleman had said, was that they were Christians, but they had called them Jews. And I didn't know if there were Gentiles at that same time or not. So that's my question to you is were they just all Jews?
I believe that they were Christians. They could have been Jewish Christians. They could have been Gentile Christians. And we'll get into verse 1 next week into a little depth. But beforehand, the different translations said they were aliens or foreigners. They were exiles. They were pilgrims. There's not a lot of names they had given to them. But in essence, we are there too. We're just temporarily living on this earth. And our home is with God.
Yes.
So as we live victorious in times of suffering, we're without losing hope, without becoming bitter. Sometimes that could push you to be bitter. But yet we should curtail that. We should always be trusting in the Lord. And there's blessings in Christianity. Multiple blessings in Christianity. If we have some problems with trials and temptations, go to our Heavenly Father in prayer and pray about it. Ask your brothers and sisters to pray about it, and that will help you. We also, as you live victorious in times of suffering, and I'm having trouble with this thing here. Christians will suffer, but yet they should serve the Lord at all times. Also, Christians should have a relationship with their brothers and also people in the world. And just think about that. Our relationship with our brothers and sisters, we should nurture it, build upon it, and use each other to assist us in our Christian walk of life. And also people in the world, we should build relationships. Also, our blessings should sustain and endure hardship, and we should live holy lives, honorable in relationships, and endure patiently. Also, we should live a holy life despite of the sufferings and hardships. And finally, we should relate properly to our leaders, to those who are in authority. We should trust in God and also resist Satan. So Peter encourages Christians to maintain hope while suffering. And this is also applicable to you and I. He says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, he himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. We have this in Christ. As Christians, God's going to give us his grace. And he wants you and I, Christians, to seek eternal heaven. God will empower and glorify those who remain steadfast in their faith under the weight of this present, of their present suffering. As the saints in the first century suffered, they had been stressed by leaving their homeland, being in a foreign land. However, they should still stand firm in their faith. Jesus told us that hatred should be expected as Christians. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And Paul had warned that suffering for Jesus' sake was a certainty. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 through 12, now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch and at Iconium and at Lystra. With persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, will be persecuted. So, we are going to experience persecution. We are going to experience trials and temptations in our lives, but we have to rise above that. So with that, I had put on a question on your worksheet about some facts about Peter. Anybody want to try to take a stab at that?
In 1 Corinthians 9:5 and also in 1 Peter 5:1, it shows that Peter was married.
Exactly. And when I went through putting this lesson together, I came up with approximately 33 items we're going to share tonight about Peter. First of all, he was called Simon, Matthew 10, verse 2. Cephas in John 1:42, and also as a son of Jonah, he was called Bar-Jonah, or Jonah is John, the son of John. We also see that he lived in Bethesda and later in Capernaum, John 1, verse 44, Mark 1, verse 21 and 29. And I have a map here. It's on the northern part of the Sea of Galilee. First lived in these areas. And he lived there. Why? Well, he lived there and he worked as a fisherman. We see that Andrew, his brother, who followed John the Baptist, introduced Peter to the Lord. And the Lord had changed his name to Cephas, which means rock. John chapter 1 and verse 42. What was Peter's occupation? Oh, he was a fisherman. In Luke 5, 1 through 11, and Matthew chapter 4, 18 to 20, Peter had been a fisherman before being called to being an apostle. But Jesus called Peter, along with his brother Andrew and his partners James and John, to become fishers of men. As Charlie had said that Peter was married, Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, who had a fever. And this is recorded in the three synoptic gospels. In Matthew chapter 8, 14 to 15, and in Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 31, and Luke chapter 4, and verse 38. So he was married. As Paul had said that his wife accompanied him when he went out and was preaching. We also know a fact about Peter. He was an elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1, we read, "Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed." One of the qualifications of an elder is that he has children. So you could assume that he had children. And we don't know his children's name. The Bible doesn't record his wife's name or his mother-in-law's name. They're not important. But we do know that Peter was an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Peter accompanied Jesus to his ministry. Also, with James and John, he had the privilege of being with him for some special events. For example, the resurrection of the daughter of Jairus, Mark chapter 5, verse 37, and also Luke chapter 8, verse 51. The transfiguration, Matthew chapter 17, verse 1 and following, and also Mark chapter 9, verse 22. And he was with Jesus in the garden, Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 to 46, Mark chapter 14, 32 to 42. Well, Peter was one of the original 12 apostles that was sent by Jesus for a specific purpose of testifying that Jesus was raised from the dead. And I had written some verses, Luke chapter 5 and 6 and John, and also in Acts. We know that he was with the other elders when Jesus appeared to them. He tried walking on water after he saw Jesus walk on water. He attempted, and as he was walking, he fell. He fell into the water. Lack of faith. And that's recorded in Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 to 31. In Acts chapter 4, Luke records established schools. He was with Jesus and he received the Holy Spirit and guided him to spread the word. At the Last Supper, Jesus was washing the feet of his disciples. And Peter said, "You shouldn't be doing this." And Jesus said to him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." And Peter replied, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." John chapter 13, verses 2 to 11. He boasts of his loyalty to Jesus in Luke. We also know in the garden he fell asleep. when Jesus was arrested, Peter wanted to defend him. He was willing to die, took out a sword and cut the ear of the servant of the high priest, Malchus. But Jesus restored the individual's ear. Jesus told Peter he's going to deny him three times, and he didn't believe that. But he did when he was being beaten by the soldiers. Peter also was one of the first to enter the tomb of Jesus. In John chapter 21, verse 15 to 17, Jesus asked him, "Do you love me?" And I like to read this particular verse. "So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he said to him, 'Tend my lambs.' He said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he said to him, 'Shepherd my sheep.' He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know I love you.' And Jesus said, 'Tend my sheep.'" Just think back of the time that Peter denied the Lord three times. Now the Lord, after he appeared to Peter, asked him if he loved him three times. It makes you think about Jesus is preparing Simon for his journey to go out and preach the gospel. Well, he was always known for being impetuous and outspoken, a characteristic which sometimes got him into trouble, but sometimes led to great statements of faith. Matthew 16, verses 15 to 19, and John chapter 6, verse 68 and 69. We see that in Matthew chapter 16, he said to him, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Peter's testimony that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, is what is going to be built, the statement about Jesus being the Son of the living God, is what the church is all about. Peter also said in John 6, 68 and 69, Simon Peter answered the Lord, "Have the words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." That should be on the forefront of our minds. Know that Jesus has the words of eternal life and not deviate from that. Also, we see that in Acts chapter 1, he played a part in picking the replacement of Judas. And like the apostles, he received the power of the Holy Spirit to direct directly guide him in his teaching and to empower him to do miracles. And that's recorded in John chapter 16, verse 19, Acts 2. And Peter's mission was mainly to Jews. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 7. Despite all his failings, Jesus chose him to be the first to preach the gospel to the Jews. And also the first to preach. We find that in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10. Peter was arraigned with John before the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 5. And he made a statement in Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men." I remember the first time I ever preached, I used this particular verse and I butchered it up, believe me. I was so nervous, I transcribed the words. And I come to realize I got to use notes. But anyway, as we go on, we see in Acts chapter 3 and 4, he heals a man. He preaches in the temple. He was arrested and beaten in chapter 5. He goes to Samaria to impart gifts in 8. In chapter 9, we see that he heals Aeneas at Lydia, and he also raises Dorcas in chapter 9. He also defends working with the Gentiles in Acts chapter 11, where the Gentiles also have the gospel message. In Acts chapter 12, we see that he was in prison and he was released miraculously. He appeared at the discussion in Jerusalem, and Paul confronted Peter at Antioch concerning his hypocrisy. Charlie mentioned he traveled with his wife, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5. He wrote two epistles, 1 and 2 Peter. In Acts chapter 12, he was put into prison, but he was rescued by an angel, as we had stated before. And Jesus predicted Peter's death. He said in John chapter 21, verses 18 and 19, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk whether you wished. But when you grew old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you to where you do not wish to go." Now, this, he said, signified by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." So Jesus predicted Peter's death. We know that the death and shed blood of Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross, his burial and resurrection, provides salvation to us. Parallel, we look at Peter's death. It reveals our hope, encouragement, and purpose to face death in accordance to God's will. Jesus died on the cross for our salvation, for our sins. Peter's death reveals that we have hope, we have encouragement. And if we are in a right relationship with God, we will glorify him. When you look at 1 Peter, he's talking to those saints who are facing these types of trials in their lives, facing persecution, facing death because of their faith. Something that we don't deal with, but yet we have other types of trials and tribulations in our lives. But yet we should always stand fast. we know that Jesus himself is the head of all things to the church. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Jesus is the only foundation of the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So we can relate to Peter. He was impulsive, quick to speak out. He rebuked the Lord. He also denied the Lord. He worried about other things, other affairs. He was hypocritical at times. We know that reading the letter to the Galatians. And he also was overconfident. These traits in Peter also are traits in us that we have to rein in. We have to control. We have to suppress so that we could put God on and live a righteous life. The place in the fifth chapter, verse 13, it's recorded that she who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you greetings, and so does my son Mark. I went to some commentaries who tried to define where Peter had written this letter. And I came up with a number of areas. First of all, some of these commentators said that he had written this letter from Rome. And there's a list of those individuals who said that. The Bible doesn't say where he had written this letter. Peter doesn't say that. All he refers to is Babylon. Babylon is also a place in Egypt, not far from Cairo. And those two individuals, Pearson and Leclerc, record that. We also know that Babylon also could be Jerusalem. Those individuals, Capellus, Spanium, and Hardium, say that it's Jerusalem. And also Babylon is Babylon. Those commentators say that it is. Peter doesn't say where it is, but he mentions Babylon. And if you look at it, Babylon could be Babylon, Babylon could be Rome. We don't know. Ask Peter when you get to heaven, where he had written 1 Peter. Also, the time of the writing. Well, no time stamp is marked in 1 Peter, but there are a number of individuals said that he had written this letter between 58 and 65 AD. But based on the references to suffering and the persecution of Christians in this letter, likely Peter had written this under the reign of Nero, which is about 61 to 68, 9 AD, and the time that Rome was Jerusalem was burnt in 70 AD. We don't know the time because he doesn't mention that in the book. With that comes to our last particular question. What do you want to glean from the study of 1 Peter? Any takers?
And hope.
What's that?
Patience and hope.
Patience and hope. Very good.
I look to chapter 2, verse 16, act as Freeman, and do not use your wisdom as a covering for evil, but use it as a bond slave of God.
Excellent. That's a good point, Carol.
Tips on submission to government.
Good. Submission to government. Excellent.
I was really impressed by Peter's denial, but it's not so much the denial. I mean, that's characteristic of me as well. You know, I do pretty well sometimes, and other times I fall on my face. But in his denial, I think he demonstrates that Jesus understands that, because Jesus didn't immediately cut him off and say, it's over, Peter.
Exactly. He's very long-suffering, just as God is long-suffering towards us. And we have a lot to learn, just like Peter. Well, I put down how to be secure through suffering. We're going to see a lot of suffering in our days. We see people suffering today with this pandemic. We see people suffering from aging. We see people suffering from illnesses. We are going to suffer. But as we suffer, Peter's going to deal with, you know, we are saved people. We have salvation, and that's something that is a blessing for you and I. And Peter's going to deal with that in this particular book. We also are going to see how to live through this suffering. A lot of times we want to strike back when people are violent towards us, but yet look at Jesus's life. He didn't do that. Even when the soldiers were beating him, he didn't strike back. He didn't say anything nasty. He just endured it. An admonition for you and I. So we should be able to give our life to God. And Peter's going to address this in this book. He's going to share with you and I what he shared with those Christians in the first century when they were undergoing through their suffering for their faith. And he's going to give us the tools to deal with suffering and allowing you and I to live a righteous life. We should be able to handle and conquer suffering. We can do that in a number. We can seek God's word and see what he has to say. Peter's going to teach us in this particular book how to live for righteousness and not for evil. That's very difficult when people are suffering. But yet focus on God's word. We have been studying in the Old Testament, and Ted completed Jeremiah. And we see how the people put themselves first, not God. We see what God did to them. Even though God is long-suffering and he didn't want to see anybody lost, but those people were far from living a righteous life. Peter, on the other hand, when he's dealing with the saints who were pilgrims, who were aliens, who were not living in a foreign land and not knowing if they are going to live for the next moment, they are suffering dramatically. And he's encouraging them to live righteousness and not for evil. And also in 1 Peter, we're going to see how the church is to function under suffering. This has been a very difficult year for being an elder, I think, for me, to forego services, to do things remotely. That was a very, very difficult decision the eldership had to make. But we did it because we didn't want to see any lives lost. But yet we still want to worship our God in heaven. And fortunately, we had the tools to do that via Zoom. And Peter is going to address this by being faithful. Stand fast. Live a righteous life. Not only does he give instructions to his fellow elders who are going to be leading the flock that they're charged with, but also those saints who follow them on how to live. And live a life that is godly. In 1 Peter, even though he had written only two letters, these letters are filled with a lot of teaching, a lot of things that not only the first century Christians looked to and applied to their lives, but also for you and I to look at and to live a godly life. I'm one that likes the teachings of Paul. I like teaching Book of Romans. I like teaching the Galatian letter. I enjoy those particular books. But when you look at 1 Peter, it is as powerful as the teachings that Paul had shared with us. And don't forget, they had one thing in common, and they were led by the Holy Spirit to write these things down, so that not only the first century Christians had these teachings, but also years to come, you and I have them, so that we could live a righteous life. Okay, with that, next week we're going to get into our study in depth, and have a lot more slides to share. But I sent my questions to Dean, and he had sent them out, and I will send out a list of questions each week so that you could be on the same page as me as we study this book. And it's going to, I hope and pray that the things that we have learned through Peter will help us in our Christian way of life. Are there any questions or comments anyone has?
I'm looking forward to this study. 1 and 2 Peter is some of my favorite books in the New Testament.
Thank you, Kim.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Anybody else? Well, thank you very much for your participation and patience with me. And I appreciate everybody being here this evening. And with that, let's be dismissed in a word of prayer.